وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for all the duas you make for us and for the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah and blessings on you. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight was the 14th Taraweeh and the 15th para of the Noble Quran was recited in Taraweeh. Surah Isra was recited in the Taraweeh tonight, and Isra means to travel at night. This surah is called Surah Isra because mention of the incident of Miraj is made in the surah, wherein Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken at night, first from Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then from there to the heavens. This incident is a great miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a great honor for him. Besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no other human being was granted this honor. This incident occurred while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awake. If it occurred in a dream while sleeping, then it would not have been mentioned with so much importance in the Quran Kareem, nor would the mushrikeen have denied it. Since in a dream, man sees more stranger and amazing things, amazing incidents and sights than this one, and no one calls him a liar. So in the first verse of this Quran, there is reference to this incident. Besides Mi'raj, other important points mentioned in the surah as follows. The Bani Israel were warned from before that they would spread corruption in the land of Sham twice, and both times Allah would place his servants over them as a punishment. So the first time, when they opposed the Torah and killed Anbiya unjustly, like Shuaib alayhi salam, then Bukhti Nasr and his army were let loose over them. They spread from one corner of the land to the other, killing their ulama and their leaders. They burned the Torah, made Baitul Maqdis desolate, and captured and took away many Israelis. The second time, the corruption and evil of the Jews had reached this height when they had martyred Hazrat Zakaria alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam and exceeded the bounds in sinning. This time, a king of Babul, remembered by the name of Bardos or Khardos, was placed over them. This evil and corruption has remained the history of the Jews. Now, during the era of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they chose the path of sin and scheming, then as according to the narrations of their forefathers, they were overpowered by the Muslims who banished them from the Arabian Peninsula. Today also their corruption and evil has reached great proportions. We will now wait and see when Allah Ta'ala will send down His punishment on them. So after mentioning the greatness of the Quran, the quality of haste being an integral part of human nature has been mentioned. Together with this, the actions of man and the inevitable result of his actions have also been mentioned. Thereafter, about 13 Islamic etiquettes of social life have been mentioned. In reality, it is only due to character and etiquettes that an individual or group becomes worthy of respect and honor. Some have mentioned these etiquettes to be the message of Mi'raj. These etiquettes which are mentioned, we'll discuss them now. And the first one was, do not worship anyone besides Allah. Show kindness to one's parents. Fulfill the rights of relatives, poor people and the travelers. Do not waste wealth in extravagance. Do not be stingy, nor so generous that you regret thereafter. Do not kill your children out of fear of poverty. Do not fornicate. Do not kill any person unjustly. Do not use the wealth of the orphans unlawfully. Fulfill promises made. Weigh and measure in full. Do not become involved in those things which have not been investigated. Do not walk on the earth proudly. And finally, for a second time, we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make anyone besides Allah your object of worship. So the following points have been mentioned regarding the mushrikeen. They attribute daughters to Allah. They deny the hereafter and utter with great surprise, when we die and our bones have decayed and we are in pieces, will we be created again? They demand physical miracles from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sometimes they say, we will only believe when you make streams flow from the earth. Sometimes they say, make gardens of dates and grapes bloom. Sometimes they say, make a piece of sky fall on us. Bring Allah and the angels in front of us. And sometimes they say, build a house of gold for yourself, or go to the sky in front of us and bring a book for us from there. So besides this, there are other points also mentioned in the surah. The greatness and truthfulness of the Quran, the purpose of its revelation and it being made a miracle, man being honored by Allah, man being given bounties such as his life and a soul, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam being commanded to perform tahajjud namaz, the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, the wisdom of the Quran Kareem being revealed bit by bit. And at the end of surah, the mention is made that Allah Ta'ala is free from any partner and children, and he is described with his beautiful names. Then Surah Kahf was also recited in the Taraweeh tonight. And since the people of the cave have been mentioned, this surah refers to Kahf, which means the cave. So many ahadith have been narrated regarding the virtue of the surah. Imam Ahmad, Nasa'i, Muslim have mentioned the narration of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an. The person who recites the last 10 verses of Surah Kahf will be protected from the evils of Dajjal. So the scholars have mentioned that it is sunnah to recite Surah Kahf either on Thursday night or Friday, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that person who reads Surah Kahf on Friday will be illuminated with nur and light till the next Friday. Surah Kahf is one of those five surahs which commence with Alhamdulillah. The other four are Surah Fatiha, Surah An'am, Surah Sabah, and Surah Fatir. Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia Nawwarallahu Marqadahu has written a separate book on the explanation of the surah, in which he states, and the name of the book is Faith in Materialism. I have reached this conclusion after much thought and pondering that the theme of this surah is the battle between Iman and materialism. The surah has great connection with the evils of the last era, its greatest standard bearer being Dajjal. The surah prepares the Muslims to confront the trials of Dajjal. All the incidents, examples and indication in the surah explain the conflict between Iman and materialism. So in Surah Kahf, three incidents have been, and three parables have been mentioned. The first incident is of the Ashabi Kahf. There were a few young men, innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim wa zidnahum huda, and who had iman. A king by the name of Duqyanus tried to force them to worship idols. He would kill all those people who would not accept his polytheistic call. So on one side, these youngsters were promised huge sums of wealth, high posts, and a high standard of living, and on the other side, were threatened with their lives. So these youngsters understood the protection of Iman to be the most important thing. So they fled until they reached a cave in a mountain far from the city. So they intended to seek refuge there. So when they entered it, Allah Ta'ala placed them in a deep slumber. It's mentioned that they slept for 309 years. When they awoke from their sleep, they wanted food. So one of them came to the city to buy food. There he came to know the reality of the situation. Conditions had changed in 3 centuries. The rule of the people of Shirk had come to an end a long time ago, and now a muwahid, a monotheist, had taken leadership. These youngsters who had left their homes due to fear for their iman were given the status of heroes by these people. From this incident, we learn that a believer should have great feeling for his iman. If Allah protect us, a stage comes where one has to choose between iman and materialism, then he should definitely give preference to the protection of iman over every other material thing. Then there's a story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. The second incident is of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was informed by Allah Ta'ala that there is such a person who stays close to the shore of the ocean, who has such knowledge which he did not possess, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam did not possess. Then he set out in search for that person, journeying by foot. He finally reached the shore of the ocean, and here he met Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. He sought permission to stay with him. Hazrat Khizr gave permission on condition that Musa alayhi salam does not ask any questions. Then 3 amazing things occurred. And the first incident, Hazrat Khizr caused damage to a ship which the owners had allowed him to travel in free of charge. In the second incident, he killed an innocent child. And in the third incident, he built up an old wall which was on the verge of collapsing in a village whose inhabitants refused to give food to them. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam could not keep quiet at these 3 times, and he asked, "Why did you do this?" After the 3rd time, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam announced their separation. He said, "From now you cannot travel with me." However, he also explained the reality behind these 3 incidents. He said, "I broke a plank of the ship because the employees of one oppressive king were waiting ahead. They would confiscate every new and perfect ship. And when I damaged it, it was saved from falling into the hands of the oppressor. Thus, the means of sustenance of these poor people was protected. The child was killed because if he grew up, he would have been a great trial for his parents, due to which it is possible that they would have fallen into the filth of kufr. Allah did not wish that these very pious parents should be deprived of iman due to the love for their son. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala had passed this decision that he should be killed, and in place of him, these parents will get pious, loving, and obedient children. The reason why I repaired the falling wall is because it was a property of 2 orphans. The parents were pious people, and under the wall, a treasure was hidden. If the wall fell, then the people would have stolen the wealth, and these 2 orphans of pious parents would have been deprived. So he repaired the wall so that they could remove this wealth from under after reaching age, so that it could benefit them. So from the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, we learn that whatever occurrences are happening in front of us daily, death comes to someone in youth or childhood, someone is involved in an accident and becomes injured, someone's building falls down, someone's business becomes bankrupt. Behind all these occurrences, very wonderful and amazing wisdoms and realities are hidden. So there is a great difference between the apparent and the hidden things in this world. Man's gaze is only focused on outward things. His intelligence is unable to fathom internal and hidden secrets. So these incidents refute the flag bearers of materialism, who regard the outward as everything and deny the presence of the great wisdom of that being who is all-wise and all-knowing, working behind the scenes. And then the third incident is of Zulkarnain. Inshallah, that will be discussed in the next para. And then there are some parables also given in Surah Kahf, you know, of incidents of people who, of a person who hold two valuable fruit-bearing gardens, and he had many other forms of wealth and possessions, and the abundance of wealth had made him proud and arrogant. So he began making huge claims, but he was caught up in this wrong notion that this wealth and riches will remain with him forever and would never come to an end. He also thought that Qiyamah would never take place, and even if he did, then he would also live in great ease in the hereafter. So his friend who possessed Iman made an effort to explain to him that he should not regard asbab, means and causes, as Allah. He should not consider means to be everything and forget Allah. Whatever happens in this world happens by the wish and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So however, wealth had blinded him to such an extent that he could not see the reality of the situation, which was in fact clearer than the sun. So Allah's punishment came and his gardens were burned to ashes. And after everything had been destroyed, he began regrettably saying, "Oh, I wish I did not commit shirk and I did not give means, asbab, you know, a rank of Allah." And and his sorrows did not benefit him in the least. But so there's quite a few lessons that we learn from Surah Kahf, not to give preference to materialism over Iman. And that's the most important one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.